Welcome to the Daily Tour, brought to you by the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. This almost daily summary of the 2007 Tour de France will be presented soon after the end of each day's racing, so that you can stay up to date on the world's most famous, and some would argue, most important annual cycling event. The Daily Tour is sponsored by Fredcast Tours. Fredcast Tours is the perfect companion to the Fredcast Cycling Podcast and this daily Tour de France summary. Our first tour begins in September 2007 in the French Alps, but we have many more tours in the planning stages for 2008 and beyond. Come along with us, take in the scenery, taste the local delicacies, become steeped in the cultures, but most of all, enjoy the ride. Visit www.fredcasttours.com for more information. And now, today's daily tour brought to you by the Fredcast. Welcome to day six of the Daily Tour podcast from the Fredcast Cycling Podcast and stage five of the 2007 Tour de France. Today's stage five will take the riders from Chablis in France to Autun in France. 182.5 kilometers. There are three intermediate sprints, four category four climbs, three category three climbs, and a very difficult, long category two climb. Total climbing in today's stage, nearly 8,000 feet. Going into today's race, still in the yellow jersey, Fabian Cancellara from Team CSC. In the green, Tom Bonin from Belgium and Quickstep with 98 points. In the white jersey, Vladimir Gusev as the best young rider from Russia and Team Discovery. And in the polka dot King of the Mountains jersey, Stéphane Auger from France and Cofidis. Now, there was one non-starter before today's stage, and that was Rémi Di Gregorio from Française de Joux. He didn't start due to injury suffered in yesterday's crash. So, in today's stage, it was, once again, another exciting one. This was supposed to be a very difficult stage, and one in which, really, everyone expected the peloton to get quite spread out across the road. Not quite exactly spread out in the way that actually occurred in the race. Now, first of all, very, very early in today's race, there was a breakaway, an attack coming just at about 13 kilometers. That initial attack was mounted by Sylvain Chavanel from Team Cofidis. He was joined by Predictor Lotto's Leif Host and Euskaltel's Inaki Isasi, but they were reeled in after just 3 kilometers. Chavanel was joined by Française de Joux's Philippe Gilbert and Crédit Agricole's William Bonnet. With the three of them up ahead of the pack at the first sprint, Bonnet took first place, Gilbert second, and Chavanel third. Then, on the very first climb, which was a Category 4 climb, Chavanel took the first place points, Gilbert second, and Bonnet third. Gianpaolo Ciulla from Barlow World took chase after the break, stayed alone as a chase for quite some time, and finally caught up to the leaders 60 kilometers into today's event. On the second climb of the day, which again was a Category 4 climb, it was again Chavanel taking first place points, Gilbert in second, and Bonnet in third. At this point, the gap between the break and the main peloton was 14 and a half minutes. Something obviously changed in either Chavanel's own strategy or in the team strategy after Chavanel's restraint yesterday, making sure that Auger stayed in the polka dot jersey all day today, Chavanel going after those first place points. Now, on the third climb of the day, a Category 3 climb, it was again first place Chavanel, second Gilbert, and third, guess who? Bonnet. Chavanel at this point was the king of the mountains on the road. Now, at the 121-kilometer mark, it became clear that the peloton was beginning to react. The gap had reached at one point a maximum of 14 minutes and 45 seconds, and it had now at this point fallen down to 12 minutes and 50 seconds. 20 kilometers later, the gap was down to just about 8 minutes. Now, it was at about this point that Australian rider Brett Lancaster from Team Milram had to withdraw from the race, becoming the fifth racer to withdraw from the Tour de France this year, Lancaster having a stomach illness, leaving just 185 riders on the roads of France to continue the Tour de France. At the second intermediate sprint, first place points went to Bonnet, second place to Gilbert, and third to Chavanel. And at this point, the gap was down to 6 minutes and 30 seconds. That sprint took place at 95 kilometers into today's race, and then at 98 and a half kilometers in was the summit of a third category climb, the Côte de Saint-Maurice. There, once again, it was Chavanel, Gilbert, and Bonnet taking points. At this point, Chavanel had 24 King of the Mountain points, Gilbert 12, and the current polka dot jersey wearer, Stéphane Auger, had just 9. The riders then had a bit of a cruise through some relatively flat land on their way to a feed zone 112 kilometers into the race. But between the end of that third category climb and the feed zone, there was a crash involving Andreas Kloden. This will become interesting as we get into the later points of today's stage, but Kloden was only pulled back into the peloton by one of his Astana teammates. He also ended up having a visit with the race doctor, who had a look at his left side. The next climb was the Côte de Château-Chinon, and that was a fourth category climb, 119 kilometers into today's stage, 63 and a half kilometers before the finish line. Surprise, surprise, once again, first place points went to Chavanel, second to Gilbert, and third to Bonnet. From this point, it was all preparation for the toughest climb of the day, the Category 2 Haute Folin. The Haute Folin is a 12-kilometer climb, and it is the highest point in the Burgundy region at 902 meters. Now, on their way to that Haute Folin climb, with 58 kilometers to go, the gap was down to 3 minutes and 34 seconds. With 4 kilometers to go until the top of the climb, Bonnet and Chioula were dropped by Chavanel and Gilbert. Chavanel and Gilbert pulled away and were able to take, in that order, first place for Chavanel and second for Gilbert at the top of that very tough Category 2 climb. Third place points on that climb did go to William Bonnet, but it was not long before Bonnet and Chioula were caught by the peloton. In fact, at 38 kilometers to go in today's stage, the chase was caught, so that at the end of the final intermediate sprint of today, at 37 and a half kilometers to go in the stage, Philippe Gilbert took first, Sylvain Chavanel took second, and sprinting away from the peloton to attack and take third place points in the sprint was Robert Hunter from Team Barlow World. Then came potential tragedy for one of the pre-race favorites to win the entire 2007 Tour de France. With just 22 kilometers to go in today's stage, Alexander Vinokourov from Team Astana crashed. He seemed to have a very hard fall. He had a very big rip in the right side of his shorts and some nasty road rash, and apparently an injury on his right elbow as well. Now, contrary to the way that Astana treated Kloden earlier in the race by just giving him one lieutenant to help him get back up into the peloton, all of Astana seemed to be doing a team time trial to bring Vinokourov back into the peloton. It took all they could do to get him as close to the front of the pack as possible. But by the end of the day, things did not look good for Alexander Vinokourov. Meanwhile, coming under the 20-kilometer banner, Chavanel and Gilbert still held a 1 minute 17-second advantage over the main peloton. Now remember, at this point, there's still a Category 3 climb to come, that summit coming at 8.5 kilometers before the end of today's stage. At this point, it looked like it was entirely possible that this break might make it all the way to the finish line. By the time the 15-kilometer banner showed up, however, the gap was down to 44 seconds. Vinokourov, meanwhile, was still 2 minutes, a full 2 minutes, behind the main peloton. At this point, there were a number of attacks off the front of the main peloton, and Chavanel and Gilbert were finally caught just before the top of the final climb of the day. And at the top of that final climb, first place points went to a new group of riders, Laurent Lefebvre from Bouygues Telecom, Kim Kirken from T-Mobile, and Michael Rasmussen from Rabobank. Meanwhile, Vinokourov was still fighting to try to make it back into the peloton. As a matter of fact, at one point, his team car pulled up in front of him, breaking the wind and providing him a bit of a break as he made his way through the roads on the way to the finish line. As a matter of fact, for a while there, it looked like there was a good possibility that they might be chancing a penalty, but at the last moment, it looked like they pulled away and probably saved themselves from getting a penalty with that very questionable maneuver. On the descent off the top of the climb, Laurent Lefebvre pulled away from the peloton with Popovich from Discovery following very close and overtaking him eventually. Then, miracle of miracles, there was the yellow jersey of Fabian Cancellara. His team CSC had said that they would not plan on defending the yellow jersey today, but there was Cancellara giving chase to Popovich. They both took a turn to the left, a little bit right on the right, ended up in the grass, and that instantly took them both out of contention for the stage victory today. The finishing sprint was clocked at nearly 50 miles per hour. These guys were absolutely moving. And at the end of the day, the winner of today's stage was Filippo Pozzato from Team Liquigas. Second place went to Oscar Freire from Rabobank. And third, Daniele Benatti from Lampre Fond d'Etal. Vinokourov, by the time he crossed the line, had lost over 1 minute and 20 seconds off his time. As I mentioned on my Twitter post, that's got to hurt more than the road rash that he had on his leg. This is Pozzato's second Tour de France stage victory, and the yellow jersey, by the way, of Fabian Cancellara was in 12th in today's sprint, so not bad for the yellow jersey after that little hang-up in the grass that he had with Popovich. He will remain the leader in the general classification after today's stage. Fabian Cancellara remains in first place. Second, Andreas Klöden from Astana, 33 seconds back. In third, Filippo Pozzato, today's stage winner, 35 seconds back. In fourth, David Miller from Sonier Duval, 41 seconds back. And in fifth, George Hincapie from the United States and Team Discovery, 43 seconds back. Now, George Hincapie's teammate, Levi Leipheimer, who a lot of people have been wondering where he is in the race, he's currently sitting in 22nd place for Team Discovery. He's an even minute behind the yellow jersey of Fabian Cancellara. At the end of today's stage, he was quoted as saying, quote, "There was a lot of collaboration among the teams to bring that break back. So that meant high speed, a lot of fighting for position. I think a lot of these guys are going to feel it tomorrow." Well, there's no doubt about that. Tomorrow's stage six from Semur-en-Auxois to Bourg-en-Bresse is a 199.5-kilometer event. There are three intermediate sprints and two Category 4 climbs. Stage 6 should prove to be a nice rest for the peloton before Stage 7's Category 1 climb at Col de la Colombière, which will come just 14.5 kilometers from the finish. Now, when we start tomorrow, Stage 6, once again in the yellow jersey, will be Team CSC's Fabian Cancellara. In the green jersey, there's been a change. Eric Zabel from Team Milram. He's got 102 points. Chasing just behind him is second place Tom Bonin with 98 points. And then in third, Robbie McEwen with 84 points. Retaining the white jersey, Vladimir Gusev from Team Discovery. And in the polka dot jersey, after an amazing ride yesterday and a stellar performance in today's stage five, Sylvain Chavanel from France and Team Cofidis with 37 points for that polka dot jersey. Well, I've been getting a lot of your emails and feedback on the Daily Tour podcast, and one of the questions that you've been asking me is, what is it like to be out there watching one of these stages of the Tour de France as it rolls past through the streets of England or France or Belgium, or coming up soon in Spain? So I thought I would get a friend of mine on the phone. This is Carlton Reed, who is the editor of Bike Biz magazine, as well as the owner of quickrelease.tv and pretty much our most frequent contributor to the Spokesman Cycling Roundtable podcast. He had the pleasure of being in London earlier this week to see the Tour de France go through Great Britain, and I got him on the phone today, and we discussed what that experience was like. Here's my interview with Carlton Reed. We are talking to Carlton Reed from Bike Biz Magazine and QuickRelease.tv, as well as the Spokesman Cycling Roundtable podcast. Carlton was lucky enough to be in London earlier this week for the beginning stages of the Tour de France. Carlton, good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
Great. It's good to talk to you. Tell me, if you wouldn't mind, here comes this very French cycling event to the streets of London. How did Londoners and Britons in general react to having the Tour de France in their streets?
Do you know, Londoners and certainly Ken Livingstone and the Transport for London team, they took it over. It was almost not a French event. And I think some of the riders have said that they felt as though the Tour de France didn't start until they actually got into France this year, whereas sometimes, you know, the feeling starts as soon as they kick it off. It had a very different feel from previous prologues I've been to. It was very slick. It was just very London, and it was an amazing experience. And to be in amongst that amount of people, 95% of whom is thinking, "What's going on here? Why are these guys going fast?" I think they're out just for a nice day out, but then got surprised and got really into it because there was screens everywhere. Like if you go to Paris, you get a good position. You stay there because you're not going to see much of the race. You just see them coming past fast, and that's it. And you might have one or two big screens. There was 18 big screens in London. In fact, you could watch three of them at any one time. It was this surreal experience of being able to follow the race and see the race at the same time, which is different.
Now, other than the screens, what made it distinctly London?
What made it distinctly not London was the weather. It was tropical. It was, you won't have experienced this, but if you've seen the news, we've been flooded out here quite literally. People floating away in dinghies in high streets. We've had 5 weeks of Evan Almighty type downpours. And I know we spoke on the podcast, and one of my fears was, we're going to have dreadful weather here, and it's going to be so sad. And Ken Livingstone's going to be, hanging out of a team car with a brolly and stiff upper lip and saying, "Well, we brought it anyway, and nobody's watching it." And the sun came out. In fact, it was rainy on the Thursday when the boats were taking the tour officials up and down the Thames, and then Friday, boomf, it just became this beautiful weather. And Friday, Saturday, Sunday, virtual heat wave in London. Monday, it was rainy again. So, I headlined one of my stories on Bike Biz. I said, the sun shines on the righteous because we had this amazing weather. And we're used to that in July normally, nice weather. But because we've had this huge run of awful weather, we were just thinking it was going to be a washout, and it wasn't.
That sounds delightful. What? Where was your perspective? Where were you during the racing?
Oh, well, I hope this doesn't make you feel too bad, but I had press accreditation, which means I can go everywhere. And you jump over barriers, and the police just say, "Oh, hi, yeah, okay, off you go." And so I wandered virtually all the nice locations, and I dragged my kids with me too. And you see that in the one of the videos I put onto YouTube and on Quick Release TV with two of the kids who are really into cycling, chased after Christian Prudhomme, the director of the Tour de France, and got his signature. And he was truly gorgeous, considering he's on the prologue, and he really ought to be getting the jerseys out for the Cancellara, etc., and the other winners on the day. And there he was, chatting to my little kids and signing autographs and personalizing everything and being a truly, truly sweet gentleman. So we're wandering everywhere, really. Wow. Where we were on the prologue was complete fluke, in that if you've ever been to the Tour de France, you'll have seen that the media scrum, the buses and the Pantechnions and the huge waves of wires, these snake through this backstage area, is just this amazing rabbit warren of you'll never kind of find your way out again. But I went through there and I just happened upon this little den of this little gap, and it was right on the finishing line on the prologue. So me and my kids are just right on the finishing line for the last hour, which was magical.
So would you say that that was the highlight for you and the highlight for your kids as well?
Yeah, they got really good access that day. On the following day, we were on Tower Bridge, and it was the, you know, the official start of the tour. So security was red hot. I mean, they wouldn't even allow me to be on a traffic island. I had to set my cameras up and then set them running and then go. But then when they all, I don't know if you saw this on the TV, but when they all stopped on the bridge for a bit and had the official start off, I was right up at the front there. So I was chatting to Mark Cavendish, and there was David Miller in front of me. To my right was Ken Livingstone, and behind me were all the photographers. So I was right there in the thick of it, which was fantastic. So it was lovely to get press accreditation, because you can do those sort of things. But saying that, I wasn't probably in some of the best locations, because I'm in these kind of roped off areas where you often don't get the best of views. You just happen to be in the thick of things. But I would actually like to have been, say, camped out where Buckingham Palace was, for instance, or to get a photograph of the riders coming past Big Ben, you know, the iconic London locations. So I didn't do any of those things, which now I've seen all the photographs. I wish I could have done some of that, because it just looks stunning. So London did really well at having those locations and having them in sunshine.
You know, it was funny to watch the riders going past Buckingham Palace and looking at all of the people standing on that sidewalk where, if you've been to London, of course, I've stood there myself, and normally you're facing Buckingham Palace to watch the changing of the guards. And in this case, everyone's backs were to Buckingham Palace. It was really strange.
Yeah, yeah, it's a real shame the Queen was out. You know, it would have been really nice, wouldn't it, if, you know, she just opened the balcony and you go, oh, what's going on here? But because she didn't have the royal ensign up, it meant she's not there. So she's obviously thought, oh, bike race, I'm gonna nip to Scotland for a bit.
Yeah, I'm sure there were some security concerns there as well with all those people in front of Buckingham Palace. But Carlton, overall, how do you think London did, and what do you think the chances are of doing this again in London? And by the way, have you heard, what was the French reaction?
They loved him. And because I'm standing there with all these people, you get the first-hand reaction. So I've got this on video. I shall be running it at some point on Quick Release TV. But all of the French guys, the top executive of the organization, on the bridge, for instance, they meet with the London guys. So Peter Hendy, he's the main guy for Transport for London, Ken Livingstone. And what you sometimes don't hear on camera, because they're not focusing on that, are these guys chatting, and they're all just congratulating each other. Because by that point, they knew they had this massive success on their hands. Yeah, I know the previous day, when we're at, in fact on Friday, when we're at Trafalgar Square for the introduction of the teams, I think they're expecting about 6,000 to 10,000 people. And the police the next day were complaining, because it's like, we got 10 times the amount of people we were expecting. So all along the whole route, and I know this was the same for through Kent as well, the numbers far exceeded what they thought they were going to get, which is fantastic for cycling in the UK, because London really made it into I know it sounds daft, but made it into a cycling event. You know, they did a lot of promotions on the back of it for regular cycling. And my favourite bit is, if you cross Westminster Bridge, which is right in front of Houses of Parliament, there are placards the length of the bridge and coming right past Big Ben and Parliament saying, you're better off by bike, you know, 50 times, however many posters were up there, like these huge posters, which had been up there for quite some time. So the powers that be in this country you could not have missed this amazing message which Ken Livingstone and the delivery team at Transport for London put on. So quite apart from the amazing economic effect it's had because of all these overseas sports fans coming, and the fact there's loads of people in London anyway, there's going to be a number of years of this actually benefiting people in London. And Ken, I think he's made no secret of the fact, this is a dry run for the Olympics. And not just a dry run for that, but a dry run for the next time it comes. So I think they're talking either the year before or 2010, they want to bring the tour back, not as a grand depart, but as a roll-through stage. So, and I know from all the reaction I saw from the ASO lot, I think they jump at the chance. It's been ultra, ultra professional stage. Well, two stages.
Well, Carlton, it was great to watch on TV, and it was great to hear from you about your reactions and what you saw out there on the street. Thanks for joining us on the Daily Tour, and you can look for everything that Carlton does on bikebiz.com as well as on quickrelease.tv. And don't forget, of course, the Spokesman Cycling Roundtable podcast. Carlton, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, David.
Well, once again, our thanks to Carlton Reed from Bike Biz Magazine at bikebiz.com, as well as quickrelease.tv and the Spokesman Cycling Roundtable podcast at the-spokesmen.com. That's it for today's episode of the Daily Tour podcast. If you'd like to comment on the show, please send an email to thefredcast@gmail.com or send a voicemail to area code 206-203-FRED. Be sure to follow the frequent live updates of the day's racing via Twitter. The Twitter username is Daily Tour. There's no space between daily and tour. And you can sign up for these updates at twitter.com. That's twitter.com. And please check out our website at www.thefredcast.com. I'll see you all again tomorrow for another episode of the Daily Tour podcast, brought to you by The Fredcast and Fredcast Tours. Thanks for listening.